Right now on VFN TV, tragedy hits in Sri Lanka. A terrorist comes into a Christian gathering on Easter, and over 300 die in an explosion. Also, we'll be talking about, they said it was radical Muslims who did this. How many Muslims are there in the earth, and how many Christians are there in the earth? What nations do we all live in? And finally, we're going to hear from Robbie Zacharias, how as we as Christians, how should we respond to such tragedy right now on VFN TV?
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Sri Lanka is located just south of India. It's an island. I forget how many people it has in it, but it's a tragedy. This took place on Easter Sunday, a Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And all these churches were coming together to celebrate. And a man walks in with a backpack filled with explosions. And it's a suicide bomber. He explodes that to kill himself and kills over 300 Christians gathered together to celebrate Jesus Christ's resurrection and injures others. It's a tragedy. I'm Greg Lancaster. And of course, joining me is John Ramos. And I think about this, as a matter of fact, let's just hear what Glenn Beck has to say about that as we go into this tragic reality of what's taking place. Take a look.
But I do want to say, this was the second largest terrorist attack since 9/11. 500 people went to the hospital, 300 killed, and it was targeting Christians, and it was Muslims doing it. It was Islamists. Let me be very clear. It was Islamists that did it. And we will not talk about it. We just, they won't say that Christians were killed. It was Easter worshipers. It is vital that we talk about the targeting of Christians. Christians are being targeted in China, in Burma, in Africa, in the Middle East, all throughout Europe. 1,800 religious crimes reported in Europe just last year. 1,800. Out of that, over 1,300 were Christians. 1,100 were Christian churches being burned and desecrated. That's just in Europe last year.
That's just in Europe. Imagine what's taking place. You're thinking, you know, why aren't we doing, why aren't we standing up about what's going on as Christians? You know, one thing that the Lord talks about, Jesus talks about, is us having empathy and compassion for the persecuted church. Mm. And that when one part of the church is being persecuted, the whole church is being persecuted. When any part of the church is being persecuted, Jesus himself is being persecuted. I think about, you know, when Paul, or actually it was Saul, and he had a wrong perception of what the church was. And they were meeting in different houses, and he had a religious mandate. He felt he needed to go and persecute to get these people, these Christians, to quit worshiping. And so literally, he was a terrorist, if you would, against the church to begin with. And as he was going and persecuting, he had a particular Christian named Stephen stoned, you know, and just it was tragic. But then he was on going on his horse, basically, or donkey, going north to Damascus. And he had a letter to persecute some more Christians. And, you know, God didn't show up and just, you know, and say, you know, angrily, whatever. He showed up and just showed himself. Jesus showed himself to Saul. And he says, why are you blowing me up? Hmm. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against me? Now, so many people don't understand that when you touch the body of Christ, when you touch Christians, you're touching Jesus. You're touching, you know, God's Son, who he's very jealous over. And it's a very direct assault by the adversary to come against God when you think of that. And so Saul didn't realize what he was doing, but his eyes were opened after a couple of days because of that. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah. And he served the rest of his life serving him. So he went from terrorist, you know, to the great, you know, evangelist for the church, apostle for the church, that wrote almost, a third or half of the New Testament. And so the question we're asking today ourselves is, you know, first we want to look at the population and what's going on, but, you know, how do we respond as Christians?
Yeah. You know? I think about this. I mean, Glenn said it. In Europe alone, 1,800 attacks. And out of that 1,800 in Europe, 1,300 were against Christians.
Right.
What about the stuff that's happening in North Korea? What are the
where it makes sense.
Well, in Europe, 1,800 religious attacks occurred last year.
So persecution against the religious.
Okay. Out of that 1,800, 1,300 of them were against Christians. That's a staggering, amount.
We're not hearing much about
that. No, we're not.
They're more protective over other faiths. They're not being persecuted at the level Christianity is being persecuted.
I remember what happened with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Mm-hmm. As soon as the Muslim Brotherhood took office, Christians were being persecuted. Church buildings were being burned down. And it's like, what's going on? What's this targeting happening? You know, and we've talked about it on this program plenty of times. JJ, the persecution towards the Jews and the persecution towards the Christians.
Or Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus and the Jews. You can find out what's going on when you find out how they're responding to Jews and the church or Christians or Jesus, the body of Christ. Well, I think about this. I know we're not going to talk about it today, but just recently the Notre Dame Cathedral, right, in Paris, that it was had a fire and, ever how it happened, and they're still investigating it. But compassion broke out all around the world for this building, people weren't in the building. And close to $1 billion was raised to rebuild the building. And, it has a lot of symbolisms and, different things. But, Jesus tells us that you are the temple of God, that he comes to dwell inside of you when you're a believer. So really, you are the building of God. Mm. And so I just heard this morning, the reporters, we'll be talking more in a future program, but they were saying, this huge massacre that took place, in Christ Church, the community, there's a Muslim, a mosque in the city or area of Christ Church, it was New Zealand.
New Zealand.
And it was a tragedy. A shooter comes in and kills almost 50 Muslims while they're in worship. But this is actually only one third of what happened in Sri Lanka, because over 300 were killed.
It's the second largest.
The reporter's saying this. The reporter's saying, and you're not even getting a mention of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the press covered 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Take guns away. In every country, they were talking about what happened in Christ Church, the mosque in Christ Church, which was very tragic, and we should have been talking about it. Maybe not the level we were in regards to taking away all the guns, but still, this is 300, Christians killed, massacred.
And over 500 that were sent to the hospital.
Yes,
and
yes.
And they're still, this is the second largest terrorist attack since 9/11, mm-hmm. and you're not here.
Well, there's a hush about it. It's the secular media, and that's why we're here with VFNKB's, VFNTV, and the Media Mountain. This is why who's going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. That we need to talk about it because everybody's not getting informed the right way.
That's right.
And what we're finding out, too, is once someone hears the truth, they understand.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to believe it, but it's true. People are constantly saying things that aren't true continually over and over again, whether their minds are blinded by the God of this world, like Paul talks about, or whether they're intentionally pushing a narrative for their own gain. But there's something about the facts that are really tricky. They're facts. And the facts are totally opposite of what most are saying on media. I think about so many different people that are, intellectuals, and we're just talking about, Larry Elder, about his facts. I think about so many different people. Thomas Sowell,
and
bringing the facts out. He's the one that says the facts, I think, is really tricky because he talks about, they use world statistics to be able to define what's happening in your neighborhood. It's like, well, what happens if 98% of that's happening in a different country, in one country, in one road? And so he talks about that. And what people are using these tragedies to push their narrative. But when a true tragedy comes to the church, to Christians, they just brush it off. Because if you acknowledge the church, if you acknowledge church, you're acknowledging Jesus Christ, that God sent his son in the world he loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us to pay the price. And it just shouts to everybody else that there's only one way to God, is through Jesus Christ. But it is a way to God. It is the way to God. And so they have to snuff out that narrative to be able to do that. So I want to, as we're going to go after this break, we're going to talk more about John. I'll tell you in just a second. But what are your thoughts? We're not promoting any kind of hate. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just reality. you know, about, you know, this is such a tragedy. Maybe what are your prayers? You know, pray. You know, comment below. Write to us at friendsatvfnkb.com because we want to hear from you. But you can, people will read your comments. For example, you know, we are constantly talking about what's taking place in Venezuela. I had a chance to be able to talk to a businessman in Venezuela just recently, and he was so grateful that, like today, we're standing up for Sri Lanka and the church in Sri Lanka, really the church of the world. Mm-hmm. And it means so much. So when you comment and you say something, they read your comments, and it encourages them. And we don't want to be hateful or you know, we're going to talk. As a matter of fact, in this program, you'll hear about, you know, how should we respond as Christians? And to Nella in a hurry is, you know, your comments below should be loving, kind, forgiving, and compassionate, because that's what will reach people. You know, hate. Well, you cannot drive out hate with hate. Only love can do that, right?
That's
Dr.
Right.
King said that. John, what's coming up?
When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about what has occurred, but we're also going to be sharing about the top 10 populations of Christians and Muslims, as well as an encouraging way, as Greg was just talking about, how we can love on those that persecute us. Join us. We get right back from this break.
We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you about our book. My book is out and it's ready for you right now. I Will Fight, 10 strategies to fight for your success. Listen, so many people in the world understand if you're going to be successful, you got to fight for it. And many people who are believers and Christians think that just success falls out of the sky. But God has created the earth to respond to your labor. He's created the universe to respond to you believing in faith what he's going to do. So I share in this book very specifically about biblical fights that have happened, but also got 10 specific strategies to be able to help you. I don't care if you're a CEO, I don't care if you're a congressperson or a senator, I don't care if you're a janitor, a business owner, a teacher, a pastor. If anybody knows, needs to know how to fight, pastors need to know how to fight for success and define, you know, what success is. But I talk specifically, and I begin in this book, is about how God spoke to me and why I'm writing the book. God showed me specifically in a dream, a prophetic dream, several dreams, but one was that he has a wealth transfer coming and he wants to deliver wealth to his people, but they don't have the character and the integrity to be able to manage that wealth. He told me that he's been getting a lot of money and wealth to them, but it goes right through their fingers like holes in a bowl. So they have to learn how to be able to develop strategies, biblical strategies, to be able to be positioned. Why? Because a great harvest of souls is coming, and it's going to take many, many dollars to be able to bring in that harvest, and it's going to be God's people who will fund that. And so he's looking for people that are willing to say, I want to be positioned. This is all about being positioned for great wealth. And it's not necessarily great wealth in money. It could be great wealth and influence, whatever God has entrusted you with. So get your, it's a free book. You just cover shipping and handling. We want to send it to you for free. And you can go to vfnkb.com for all the details. You can see it on your screen. But listen, it's here. It's right here for you. Wonderful thing. How many nuggets? Maybe 500, 600
yeah.
wisdom nuggets in addition to the success strategies. It's yours now, vfnkb.com. I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to vfntv.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at vfntv.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner
and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, if you haven't yet subscribed to our podcast, make sure you go to iTunes or Google Play.
That's right.
And also, we're on Spotify. We just launched on Spotify. You can go find us at VFNKB, VFNTV. And not only that, rate us when you're there. You'll be able to rate when you rate the podcast. Give us 5 stars. Talk about us a little bit. That brings us up, and they send us out to more people around the world. It's a way that you can evangelize the world by being a partner with us, by doing something as simple as downloading the app, rate the app, and actually comment below, and they'll just send it out to more people.
We welcome you to the team, right?
Yes, welcome to it. It was us together.
That's right.
It is us together. Well, you know, you're looking at this tragedy that took place, but let's step back a little bit, because mm-hmm. they're talking about there was a radical Muslims who did this, who claims to be ISIS as well. But,
that's right.
But the common thing is they're saying that they're you know, Quranic Muslims who are following the Quran.
Following the Quran.
And so with that, you know, how many Muslims are in the world? How many Christians are in the world? Where do we all live at?
Yeah.
You know?
Interestingly enough, the Pew Research just actually did this for us, and we're going to be sharing about it.
Okay.
In fact, they say the countries, we'll talk about both, the countries with the 10 largest Christian populations and the 10 largest Muslim populations. So this is what they state.
Do we have a graphic for this?
We do.
Okay.
Let's take a look here.
Okay.
So when you look at this, this is based on 2015. These are the top 10. The number one country right now with the most Muslims is Indonesia, 219 million Muslims in Indonesia. They're projecting by 2060 that there'll be 333 million Muslims. That's almost close to the population of the United States.
In 2060, which would be 50 years.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, a little less than that because we're in 2020. But you look at India as well, 194 million Muslims. Mm-hmm. Pakistan, top three. 184 million. Bangladesh. Well,
you know, Pakistan was formed because in India there was Muslims and Hindus. And what they did was they actually said, made a settlement, said, listen, we'll give you part of India.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the Muslim population moved into that area, and then they just made it a country and called it Pakistan. That's how Pakistan was formed.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bangladesh, number four. Nigeria, number five. Which is interesting about Nigeria is that you'll see them on the Christian list as well. So there's a lot of Muslims in Nigeria and a lot of Christians in Nigeria as well.
But we're talking mostly right now about the Muslims.
Muslims, correct. Mm-hmm. Number six is Egypt, 83 million or so. Iran, 77 million. Turkey, 75. Algeria and Iraq at 36 million Muslims.
So you're looking at, too, the percentages there. So when you went to Indonesia with 219, almost 220 million, that's 87% of the population.
That's right.
So India is 14% of the population, basically, or 15 is Muslim. Pakistan
Correct.
Is 94%. That makes sense because Pakistan was originally founded,
sure.
you know, by Muslims there.
And it's interesting enough, if you look at number 10, Iraq only seems to be the smallest number there, 36 million.
But 99%.
It represents 99% of their population.
Because of the persecution that was been taking place where they're running for their lives.
Yeah.
You know?
Which means Iraq would be mainly a Muslim nation.
Well, remember, ISIS came down through Iraq, and the Christian, and part of, I don't know if you know this or not, if you read the Bible, the Holy Bible, he talks about that the church, the letters to the church in Revelation, those churches are in Turkey. They're right there in all these different areas of Iraq. You're looking at the place of the Garden of Eden in southern Iraq, I believe it is. And, you know, you have the Tigris River. And so, but now, because of the ISIS coming in during all that radical days, but prior to you know, President Trump becoming president, where they were just coming down to take over caliphate, that they said that they were developing. They were running all these Christians out. And so Glenn Beck started an organization. I forget the name of the organization that he started, Mercury One. Part of that was to go out there and rescue Christians. And, that organization alone rescued more Christians out of Iraq to take them to other countries to settle.
Yeah,
because
amazing.
They were putting an N for Nazarene on the door.
That's
and they
right.
were killing Christians and taking their property unless they converted to Islam. So that's
amazing.
Why you're looking now. It's 99%. Mm. So what was the goal of Lucifer towards the church? You know,
yeah.
And all that was to run every Christian out of Iraq.
Wow. By 2060, they're predicting that number is going to increase now by 60 million Muslims. So they're going to go from number 10 all the way up to number 7, Iraq.
Wow.
Interesting. Now let's look at the top 10 Christian populated nations.
Okay.
The United States, no surprise, 248 million, which is represents 76% of the population.
Almost 77%.
Right. Number 2, Brazil.
Which makes people, when they talk about, you know, Americans, they say, you know, we're not a Christian nation. It's like 77%, you know, are a Christian nation. So we are. We're a Judeo-Christian foundation.
That's right.
The Bible is one of the founding documents of America's founding papers, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, if you look all the way across here to 2060, that number of the population drops down to 63%. But what they're not calculating is revival and an awakening. So God has something in his back pocket, if you will. Number 2, Brazil, 179 million. Number 3, Mexico, 113. Russia, all this talk about Russia, there's 103 million Christians in Russia.
And the prophetic word is revival is going to be birthed out of Russia again there by Bob Jones.
A massive move of God. And number 5, the Philippines. 94 million. Number
92%.
6. Yeah, strong.
That's nice.
Nigeria again, 86 million Christians. DR,
Congo,
72 million. China, 70 million
Only
Christians.
Only 5%.
Yeah, but the fact that 70 million Christians are in China are amazing. Number nine is Ethiopia, 57 million, and Germany is 55 million.
And the thing about that they're saying with Pew Research is that, you know, Muslims are pretty much gathered in predominantly Islamic nations or Muslim
population
nations.
Centers, they call them.
Right, yeah. But Christians are in every nation.
Spread out
all over the earth. Well, the big question we want to ask is how do we as Christians respond to these kind of tragedies? I want you to read the scripture, what Jesus said, really quickly right here, so you understand how we respond. John?
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
So
Matthew
you look
5.
At, so you're looking at this, that we're supposed to love our enemies, those that hated on us. And you can do that, as I talked about Saul to begin with. But let's hear what Rabbi Zacharias talks about specifically, about how do we actually talk to Muslims about the love of Christ, because they want everybody, every man searching for God, and we want to tell them how to get there. Let's listen to Ravi now.
I think one of the most important questions you can ever ask a Muslim, but most importantly, always try to befriend them first. If you get into a vacuous argument, you will almost never win it, unless you have the protracted opportunities back and forth, like Nabil Qureshi's case with a friend of his. They periodically and regularly would get together and pick out the thorny areas of the other person's faith, which you can do with a friend. But just first understand your faith well. It's very important for you to understand what the Christian faith is about, which is very distinctive from the Islamic worldview. Do you know the Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview, is the only worldview, hear me carefully now, is the only worldview where your salvation is a gift and that of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no other worldview that gives you that option. Every pantheistic worldview, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, all of them are karmic. You know, every life, every birth is a rebirth. Every birth is a payment for the previous life. Islam, Muslims, if you ask a Muslim, how do you know you're going to get into paradise? His answer would be, my good deeds will have to outweigh your bad deeds. And you ask him a simple question, do you know if they will? His answer will be, inshallah. It's the wish or the will of God that whether my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. Almost every Muslim that I have talked to, without exception, almost every Muslim has come to Christ in one of two ways, either through a dream, where God spoke to them in a dream, or through the love of Christ shown to that Muslim by another believer. I have a very dear friend who went to be a missionary. I won't tell you which country. He was born and raised there, came to this part, came to know the Lord. And his wife was an American gal. He came from the Middle East. And she used to go to church, and he despised it. On Wednesday nights, she would go to a Bible study. They had one car. He would go to pick her up. And he would be waiting outside. He told me the story. He said, and sometimes the Bible study would be going longer, and he'd be breathing, threatening, and slaughter sitting in the car. And the pastor would come out with a tray with some sandwiches or cookies and a cup of coffee or tea and offer it to him while he was waiting. That so touched him, he said, I can tell you this, if the reverse were true waiting outside a mosque, nobody would even think of doing that for you because of the way they would despise your faith. Said that this pastor knew I was waiting and didn't want to come into the church, so he'd bring me a cup of tea or coffee and some sandwiches, cookies. Gradually melted his heart. One thing led to another through the study of the Bible and the loving extension of friends, he came to know Christ.
Isn't that awesome? By loving people. And it's so important. Outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're all the same. And we're all lost outside of him. And so we should be reaching everybody the same. And there's so much available for you at vfnkb.com, how to be able to be compassionate towards the lost, but also how to share the gospel with people who walk in the Muslim faith. You know, they accept Jesus. They just don't understand that he is the Son of God. They believe that he's a prophet. But if you explain to them the truth, and understand when you, it's not about a logical explanation, it's about when you share it without manipulation, just out of love, God moves on that message and he touches their heart because he loves them and he'll reveal himself to them, to anybody you share the gospel with. It's not your power of convincing people. It's your ability and willingness to share it with a heart of love that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. And it's just amazing. Listen, comment below. Pray. We need to pray for the persecuted church at large across the world, and people being persecuted. As a matter of fact, Muslims are being persecuted dramatically over the earth as well, including in China. But we need to be able to be compassionate. The answer is the love of Jesus Christ. And comment below, post a prayer, pray for those in Sri Lanka that lost their loved ones. You know, 300 were murdered through that explosion. Many others are injured. Tourists that were in a local hotel right next to them from all around the world were there, and they got hurt and injured. There was blood splatter all over the place. I mean, it's just tragic. And remember, Abel's blood cries out to this day. And every one of those people's blood, God sees that happen. And we need to take compassion and pray for them. Comment below, write to us at friends@vfnkb.com. Dear Lord, right now, I want to pray with you right now. Dear Lord, we just ask you right now that you would comfort all those who lost their loved ones, God, that you would supernaturally meet them where they're at. Father God, help them in their time of trying to just move. It's difficult to even move in their daily life because of this persecution. God, we pray for the persecuted church around the world, God, that you would prevent this persecution, that you would save the leaders, those that persecute, Father God. We pray to them that you would turn them to you, Lord God, that they would seek your forgiveness in relationship with you, and they would be senders of love, like when Saul converted to Paul, God. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we ask in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You are disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers. And they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging, and life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow, and you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they're not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go, and there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if it's, I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and you know, it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings and dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And, and I just want to encourage you. You know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.